It's difficult to know whether or not it was purposely planned as such, but it appears that many of the Parshiot HaShavua, the weekly Torah portions, coincide philosophically and symbolically with the times of year that they find themselves in. And it's interesting that the next few weeks, the Parshiot in particular, coincide, and quite appropriately coincide, with Rosh Chodesh Elul, the time in which we are called and beckoned to reappreciate and reinvigorate our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Likrat Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment, as it looms upon us. We are meant to have that introspect and understanding and reinventing that connection to Hashem for the Yamim Noraim, what we call in English the High Holidays. And what's interesting is in this week's Parsha of Parshat Re'eh, as difficult as it is, because there are many, many outstanding psukim directives which are not necessarily easily understood. Certainly their juxtaposition as to where exactly they were placed and inserted in the Parsha. But I want to share with you two very crucial principles which I think are important for us to reflect upon, particularly as we go through this introspect in terms of our relationship with Hashem and the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Elul, Haba Aleinu L'Tovah, this coming week. One principle in particular is quite specific, relates to one specific directive in the Torah, and the other is more general. But both are extremely reflective and important with regards to this reassessment of our ways with Hashem. In Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Gimel, the Torah says, "V'nitatzem et mizbechotam, v'shibartem et matzevotam." When Bnei Israel enter Eretz Israel, undoubtedly they will find many versions that were used for Avodah Zarah, many different types of idolatrous and idolatry practice. And we are meant to obviously obliterate and destroy any signs of these of the Avodah Zarah. And the Torah says we should destroy the Mizbechot, we should destroy and break all of the Matzevot. Rashi differentiates between what exactly is a Mizbeach and a Matzevah. A Mizbeach, says Rashi, shel avanim harbe. A Mizbeach is constructed of many stones. Matzevah shel even achat. A Matzevah is only one stone in itself. And in fact, the Ramban points out, Nachmanides, that in actuality, prior to Matan Torah, all of our avot, our forefathers, used a matzevah, one stone, in order to offer sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in actuality, the matzevah was very accepted. It was a very positive means of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of practicing to Hashem, of davening and praying to Hashem. Therefore, says the Ramban, that many of the matzevot that were already established in Eretz Israel prior to Matan Torah by our avot, by our forefathers, did not necessarily have to be destroyed. Lehefech, they dafka stood out as outstanding pieces that represented worship of Hashem, and therefore they were not included in this directive. However, since Bnei Yisrael could not necessarily differentiate between those which were used by the Avot and otherwise, the Torah instructed Bnei Yisrael to destroy the Matzevah, this one stone. Rav Moshe Zatzal, however, sees this directive from a very philosophical and theological standpoint. Rav Moshe Feinstein explains that even in the very core of what the Matzevah, the one stone edifice, represented, was problematic in of itself. as opposed to a Mizbeach, which was constructed of many stones, which was absolutely universally amongst Am Yisrael accepted and more positively accentuated with regards to Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. Why is this? Rav Moshe explains, the Matzeva is built out of one stone. Prior to Matan Torah, the Matzeva, this one stone, represented one way, one direction, a straightforward relationship with Hashem. An instantaneous, if you may, relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One-dimensional relationship and rapport with Hashem. There's one way to connect. There's one means of faith. One demonstration of emunah. That's what was there. However, after Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Bnei Yisrael that yes, there is emunah in Hashem, but there are many ways in which, or many steps, let us say, with which a person has to use in order to arrive at recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mizbeach was constructed of many stones, which demonstrated or represented a multi-dimensional steps that one has to take in order to ultimately arrive and appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah has to offer. There is not one mitzvah in the Torah, but rather 613. Prior to Matan Torah, perhaps the one mitzvah that a person had to fulfill to get close to Hashem was emunah, to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and perhaps that was sufficient. After Matan Torah, Hashem informed us that dealing with Judaism, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah, it is not one-dimensional, but rather there are many stages and progression with regards to a person's religious development. And for that reason, the Mizbeach is accepted as the form of practice to sacrifice to Hashem. Because it is constructed of many stones, there is a gradual stepping stone process, no pun intended. It takes time to arrive at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One has to develop spiritually and religiously with one stone on top of another, and ultimately construct that great edifice of sacrifice, of an altar in which a person is prepared to do anything in subservience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was once invited to a particular shul, an event, to speak to a group of youngsters, of young adults. And the rabbi told me that I must somehow speak about or insert the concepts of Kabbalah. And I explained to him that Kabbalah is just not my forte. I do not speak about Kabbalah. I don't really learn Kabbalah. I'm not really familiar with Kabbalah. I'm not on the level to even indulge in studying Kabbalah itself. Having said that, he asked me again, please insert the issue of Kabbalah into your speech. So I got up and I explained to the youngsters who I was speaking to, Rabbi Shai, I was told to speak about Kabbalah. I'm going to explain why there is such an emphasis and why people want to hear about Kabbalah so much so, to the extent that I was begged to speak about it this evening. And then I'm also going to explain why that in itself is problematic. The study of Kabbalah today, I do believe, is not what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who founded the Zohar, the Torah Tanistar, the hidden Torah of Kabbalah, certainly not what he had in mind. In fact, the study of Kabbalah today is viewed as a ticket, an immediate satisfaction, immediate gratification, a ticket or a way to speedily arrive at recognition of God, an instantaneous step towards receiving the gratification of what we call spirituality. However, that's certainly not what Kabbalah represents. As a matter of fact, Chazal explained you cannot learn Kabbalah until you arrive at a certain age, 40 years of age, according to some opinions. Why is that? Because Chazal wanted us to understand the Torah Tanistar, the holy hidden Torah, in all of its power, if it were unleashed in the improper sources who were not properly prepared to accept that power of Torah, then it could become extremely dangerous, detrimental, and certainly not helpful to one's spiritual progression. Kabbalah is meant to be studied at a certain stage, after a person has already explored the foundations, the basics of the Torah itself. Then he is invited, once he reaches that level, to indulge and to study in the depth and the greatness of what the Kabbalah has to offer. However, in our generation that we live in, Kabbalah is seen differently. It's the fast way of attaining spirituality. It's the easy way out. It's the gratification that it offers instantaneously in order to have that quick ticket to arriving at God. This explains, in my opinion at least, in our generation, the craze over the concept of Kabbalah. The Havdil El And I apologize for introducing this into this Dvar Torah. But you look at a person like Madonna. Why is she someone who is so involved and immersed in studying Kabbalah? She is a person from the world of show business. The quick fix. Marrying this person, getting divorced, marrying someone else. It's quickly disposable. It's not a problem to jump from one thing to the next, depending on what's in style or what's in fad. Well, why should spirituality or the arrival at God be any different? Madonna subscribes to Kabbalah, not the Kabbalah that we know, but the Kabbalah that represents the quick ticket towards getting God in one fell swoop. This clearly is obviously not what Torah Kabbalah had in mind. We have to understand that when it comes to spiritual development, what is represented today is not the matzeva, not the one stone, not the quick fix, but rather the mizbeach. Many stones, one step at a time, constructed one upon the other. Because only then is spiritual and religious development wholesome, healthy, and completely understood and appreciated. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein explains, interestingly enough, this is why the Gemara in Menachot, with regards to the Tchelet in the Tzitzit, the Gemara, the Talmud asks, Lema domeh ha-tchelet? What is the Tchelet, the blue in one's Tzitzit, represent? The Talmud says the blue is meant to remind someone of the sea. The sea reminds a person of the sky, the blue in the sky. The blue in the sky reminds a person of the sapphire stone that adorns the throne of Hashem, and that sapphire stone reminds a person of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the question that is asked, that Rav Moshe asks at least, why not jump? Why not say, I look at the Tchelet and I immediately reminded of a Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, capital H. Why do I need to go from the sea to the sky to the throne to the jewels on the throne and then to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And Rav Moshe explains that is exactly what the Gemara is explaining to us. The Gemara reveals to us with regards to religious progress and development that one cannot jump by looking at the Tchelet immediately to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. No. Religious development is a progressive development. It takes time. It is gradual. And therefore one has to spiritually construct himself one stage at a time. Therefore, first time I am reminded of the sea reminds me of the sky, and so on and so forth. In today's generation, there is this urge to study Kabbalah, because today's generation is an internet generation built on immediate gratification, spiritual gratification that comes all very quickly. That is what we're used to. Those are the products that we receive in the push of our fingertips. We want everything and we want it now. Well, that is not what Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, religiosity and Judaism has in mind. Religious development is gradual development. It takes time. We have to be patient. But we have to at the same time be satisfied, happy, and be wholesome with regards to each step, each stone that we pass as we build that Mizbeach, the altar in which we are prepared to sacrifice for our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the first concept that seems to develop or to fester at the beginning of this week's parsha. But in a general sense, it is also interesting to note that when the Parshat Re'eh introduces even an instruction to us with regards to a lo ta'aseh, things that we are not allowed to do, or even with regards to destructiveness, instructions by which we are meant to destroy avodah zarah, it is always followed or paired together with an additional directive. For example, in Perek Yud Bet, Psukim Vav through Tet, V'haveitem shama olotechem v'zivcheichem, the Torah says, bring your korbanot Yerushalayim, v'achaltem sham lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, trumot u'ma'asrot, those portions that we take and give to the Kohen, or that we are instructed to eat in Yerushalayim, u'smachdem b'chol mishlach yedeichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs us to be happy. And then again, Pasuk Yud Bet, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, be happy in front of Hashem. Hishamer lecha pen ta'aleh olotecha b'chol makom asher tireh. Be careful, says the Torah, do not offer a sacrifice in any place that comes to your fancy. No, says the Torah right afterwards, right after that seemingly negative instruction, be careful, don't offer sacrifice wherever you might want. Ki im b'makom asher yivchar Hashem, but only in the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dons as the specific holy place that you should bring your korbanot. Ki im lifnei Hashem elokecha tochlenu b'makom asher yivchar Hashem elokecha. It is followed by the positive. Accentuate the positive. Not only are you instructed not to sacrifice somewhere else, but we are given the instruction where to sacrifice. But no, go somewhere to Yerushalayim, be in front of Hashem, be happy, and be able to offer that sacrifice as well. And indeed, when the Torah introduces the concept of a Navi Sheker or Cholem Chalom, this person who is a false prophet, the Torah says, Lo tishma el divrei anavi ahu. Don't listen or heed that which this false prophet proposes. Ella, immediately following, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. Here is the positive that follows again. Follow the words of Hashem. Oto tirau. Fear Hashem. Et mitzvotav tishmaru. Follow His mitzvot. Keep His mitzvot. Ve'oto ta'avodu ubo tidbakun. He is the one who you should cling to. So again, even when we are faced or confronted with a negative situation, by which there are false prophets, the Torah doesn't leave it at that, but rather it gives us the positive reaction. And finally, immediately afterwards, when the Torah talks about an ir anidachat, a whole city that is prepared or that worships avodah zarah, we are instructed to destroy it. But then right afterwards it says, ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, lishmor et kol mitzvotav, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. Follow, listen, and heed the mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us with which to lead our lives. La'asot Hayashar Beinei Hashem Elokecha, so that we can behave properly. And then again, Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokechem. I will not leave you only with a negative aftertaste in your mouth, but I will give you the absolute confirmation that you are my children. You are by Bonim. I am close to you, says Hashem. Again, the Torah then offers the concept of Shemitah, Efes ki lo yeh becha evyon, there will not be a poor person amongst you if you keep the Shemitah, Rakim shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha. Why? Says the Torah, Perek Tetvav, Pasuk Vav, ki Hashem Elokecha be'erachecha kasher diber lach. For there is a bracha, a blessing that awaits you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabotai, what follows in this Parsha, which is to a large sense a review of many concepts that we are already familiar with, are not only the negatives, but immediately after the negatives, there is a pattern by which the Torah inserts a positive. Yes, Avodah Zarah has to be destroyed. Why? Because you can be close to Hashem. Yes, a city that worships Avodah Zarah is to be decimated. Why? Because you are different. you have Torah and mitzvot to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, a false prophet has to be put to death. Why? Because you subscribe to greater purpose. You can be sameach, you can be happy in front of Hashem, and ultimately, bonim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. You are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What the Torah reveals to us here is the second guiding factor with regards to religious development, and that is that there always has to be a pattern, a positive encouragement that follows even that which appears to be the most negative predicament. There always has to be a comprehensive element that we are building upon the positive, that we shouldn't be discouraged, even when it appears that we are confronted with challenges that may very well obstruct and debase our very essence of spirituality. One has to realize that afterwards follows positive purpose. Encourage ourselves. Never despair with regards to our religious development. I believe this is what the Torah wants us to understand and appreciate as it inserts those psukim of positive development even within a negative confrontation. What we have to realize, my friends, is that all of us have challenges. And I think it's quite interesting, and perhaps by no chance, that this coming week, our children start to go back to school. Do we need not look further than the basis of child development and education to recognize that these two principles have to be instilled in order to see the positive development we want from our children? First, one step at a time. Let our children understand that with regards to the challenges that they will face undoubtedly on a daily basis in the classroom, take one step at a time. If you didn't learn the whole lesson, so at least you learned something from there, which will assist you the next day. And secondly, of course, do not be discouraged. There is hope. There is the ability for you to learn. God granted you, Baruch Hashem, with the faculties to do so. And ultimately, reminding our children with encouragement that the purpose of going to school is to learn, to grow, to become a greater, more valued, moral, and ethical person and part of the Jewish people. The same approach, I believe, has to apply as we enter the month Chodesh Elul and as we hear the beckoning of Yemei Hadin, the days of judgment, the high holidays as we know them. Firstly, we have to realize that our return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to spirituality, to religious development, does not happen in one fall swoop, in one day, or in one action. There is no instantaneous gratification with regards to spirituality. Rather, our religious development should be viewed, understood, and appreciated as a gradual development. It takes one step at a time to arrive at Yom HaKippurim. And certainly, regardless of all of the sins, all of the misdeeds, and all of the misdoings that we might have encountered during the past year, we should never be discouraged, because each time HaKadosh Baruch Hu beckons to us once again, return, my children, shuvu elai ve'ashuva aleichem. There is another chance, there is another opportunity for reconstruction and for rehabilitation with regards to our spirituality. Yihi ratzon, if we're zoche, if we are fully privileged to appreciate and incorporate these two foundations in our Jewish world, both privately and communally, in Mirtz Hashem will be zoche to fully appreciate and recognize the great meaning of the words in this week's parsha, to be zoche and privileged to be called once again Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. Shabbat Shalom.